Love your enemies. There was a mob of newspeople at Boston's Logan Aero Spaceport. Jordan was momentarily taken aback as he and Aditi stepped into the terminal to find themselves facing the urgent, impatient throng of reporters and their semi-autonomous cameras. Cree's security team had been beefed up with extra unicorn people flown in from Chicago. Together with the regular Boston police, they kept the nearly rabid news crews from actually grabbing Jordan, but no one could keep them silenced. "Mr. Kell! Mr. Kell! How does it feel to be back on Earth? How do you feel about being reunited with your wife? What are your plans now? Will you campaign actively for the World Council seat?" Jordan stopped and held up his hands. "This is rather overwhelming, you know," he said with a grin. Another barrage of questions. Jordan rubbed his chin, then replied, "Aditi and I are delighted to be back on Earth. We intend to bend every effort toward getting the World Council to build and staff the starships we need to save the worlds that are endangered by the Death Wave."
"You've been nominated for a seat on the World Council," said a brittle-looking blonde woman. "Do you expect to be elected?"
His smile widening, Jordan answered, "That's up to the people of North America and Europe. I won't be doing much campaigning. I intend to spend every available minute pushing to get those starships built." In Barcelona, Rodolfo Castiglione unconsciously ran a finger along his nose as he watched Jordan's impromptu press conference. Not campaigning for the World Council seat, he thought contemptuously. Every word he speaks is part of his campaign to win election. Anita is right to be afraid of him. In Oakland, Walter Edgerton was also watching Jordan Kell's performance. "He's clever," Walt realized. "Highly intelligent and extremely clever." The cameras concentrated on Kell and his lovely wife, but Walt was able to pick out the security team that separated them from the demanding, unrelenting news reporters. "There's only a handful of security guards," he said to himself. "It shouldn't be too difficult to get through them, or around them." Jordan said to the reporters, "Thank you very much. That's all I have to say right now." They grumbled and muttered, but began to leave the terminal gate area, their cameras rolling along behind them. Cree held out a cautionary hand as he watched them leave. At last he turned to Jordan and said, "Okay, let's go. There's a limo waiting for you outside. It'll take you to Mr. Otero's home. We'll be right behind you in a minivan." Jordan nodded, and they all started toward the terminal's central corridor. But a nondescript man in a dark suit stepped toward them. He was portly, with a silly-looking tiny wing-tipped mustache under his bulbous nose. Cree stepped in front of him. "I have to deliver this to Mr. Kell," the man said, pulling an envelope from his jacket. "I'm from the clerk of court's office." Jordan asked, "Is that the subpoena?" "Yes, sir, it is." Jordan reached for the envelope. As he took it, the portly man said in a mechanical tone that he must have used thousands of times before, "You are hereby served with this subpoena, commanding your presence at the trial of one Nicholas Motrenko and his accomplices, to be held—" "I understand," Jordan interrupted, opening the envelope and swiftly scanning the legal document. "Thank you," said the process server. His puffy face blossoming into a cherubic smile, he added, "I intend to vote for you next year, sir." "Why, thank you," said Jordan. Several minutes later, as he and Aditi sat in the rear of the limousine that was taking them to Concord, she asked,
"Are you really going to appear at his trial?"
"I'm ordered to."
"Can't you get out of it? Millions of people saw him try to kill you. They don't really need your testimony."
"Perhaps not," Jordan said. "But I suspect that young Mr. Motrenko could use all the help he can get."
"Help? You're going to help him?"
Jordan patted her knee. "Aditi, dearest, there's another quote from the Bible. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you."
"If someone strikes you on the cheek," Aditi recited, "turn to him the other also."
"Yes," said Jordan. "That's what I'm going to try to do." Aditi shook her head.
"I think you're crazy.